Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning. Good to see you. Welcome to Grace Church. Yep, as Ashley said, I'm Joe. I've got the privilege of leading the eldership team that oversees Grace Church, and it is an exciting morning. Let me add as well my encouragement about this evening. Come and worship here at 7:30. It's just a time to come and be in God's presence. And so there's a genuine kind of, you know, we don't want to twist anyone's arm to come, if in that sense. But if you're hungry for God and you're hungry to meet with him, then come along. And it's going to be fairly kind of low-key in a way. I think we may even, if you've been to these before, we may even let people sit in chairs this evening a bit because we're so gracious. Just kind of come and enjoy the presence of God. And it will be, as Ashley said, very kind of informal, but it will be a beautiful time. God is doing a thing, I think. God is at work, and we want a chance to get in on that and to meet with him in his presence, just as we've been doing this morning. The reason these are exciting, these stories of grace mornings, it's because there are times when we come and we hear of God at work in our lives. And that is a remarkable truth, that God is at work in our lives. And we want to mark that. We want to enjoy that. We want to be clear on that. I'm just going to introduce them, kind of provide a little framework context in which we tell them, and then we'll hear from a few people. We'll have some communion as well together through it. Here's one very simple truth. Here's a reality which, you know, I don't know, whoever you are, whether you're a Christian or not, I think probably we can all agree on this simple reality, that life is not easy. Life is not straightforward. And it's a simple truth, and yet we also spend much of our lives trying to process it, don't we? We're trying to get our head around that fact that life is not easy. And it's one of the hardest things about growing up, I think, is learning that. Hang on, this isn't straightforward, is it? The reason is that we live in a broken world. And again, Christians, because of the fall, because of the fall of mankind and sin in the world. But regardless of the reason, again, I think probably everyone would agree that this world is a little bit broken. It's not as it should be. It's not ideal in that way. No one really denies that it's a broken world. So you can ask anyone today, I think, is life easy? And no one, maybe some people, very, very few people will answer with yes. And yet, we are often surprised when it's not easy, which is a strange thing, isn't it? The way we can know it's difficult, and yet when it gets difficult, we're surprised and can't figure it out. Two things I love about the Bible, and especially the New Testament in the Bible. One is that it never denies that reality that life is not easy. It's very clear in the Bible. It's never pretending, you know what, life is easy. It's very clear that life is not. And as we hear from these stories this morning, I don't think that will be made the case either. I don't think people will be saying, actually, my life is easy. It's great. When a story of grace in my life is that life is easy and straightforward. That's not really what we're going to say. I don't think anyone's going to deny the difficulties of life. With or without Jesus, life is not easy. But the other thing that is wonderful about the New Testament is that despite that, it does offer hope in the struggle. Every time there is hope. And that is because, as Sally was kind of prophesying and declaring beautifully, it's because God did not hold back his most precious thing in order for us to know hope, in order for us to have relationship with him and hope in the darkness, because God gave his son. This thing, these kind of dynamic dual thing of life not being easy, but there being hope in Jesus, is made clear multiple times in the New Testament. One example is in 1 Peter 5, which is going to come up on the screen. It may be worth, if you've got a Bible or a phone or a tablet with the Bible on, it might be worth turning there, and you can just kind of keep it open in front of you as we hear these stories being shared. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 to 11. And I'll read it out, and then we'll kind of discuss it, how we see these two truths coming through. So verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the glory, to him be the power forever and ever. Amen." So those verses, just quickly, as we see this thing, that life's not easy, but that there is hope. The beginning, right? Verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." So this, right there, the sense, everyone will be humbled in a way. We all know that life is difficult. We'll all kind of get down. But God says, humble yourself. Why? So that he might lift you up. There's difficulty, there's hope there. There is an expectation of anxiety in the Bible, of struggle. There's nowhere a kind of a, no, you're Christians, stop worrying and be happy, be positive. It says, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him. We know life is not easy. We know that you'll have anxiety. Don't hold on to it. Cast it on him. Why? Because he cares for you. What a claim that is. What a statement. Do you hear that? That it says, God cares for you. That's a statement of hope, if ever there was one. And he will lift you up. It's very clear. Verse 8, there's an enemy against you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. It's not, that seems to be clear again. It's not easy. There's someone out there against you. There's also reality. Everyone is suffering together. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, verse 9, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. You're not alone in it. Everyone is there, particularly the church. Then verse 10 sums it up pretty beautifully, pretty remarkably. And the God of all grace, that's a name, isn't it? The God of all grace. The stories of grace this morning, it's from the God of all grace. The God of all love and mercy. He loves us and he helps us even when we don't deserve it. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. So yes, it is hard. There is suffering, but there is hope. There is restoration. There is glory. And you notice the difference. You're called to eternal glory for the Christian after you have suffered for a little while. Yes, you suffer for a little while, but you're called to eternal glory. That goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. He will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And then in verse 11, to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Yes, indeed. To him be the power and the glory in all these things. These stories that we hear, they're going to reflect all this. You know, some maybe kind of darker, some not so much. But it will all, to some extent, reflect that life is hard and God is gracious. And his grace sustains us. And as hard as it gets, even if it is very, very hard right now, we await eternal glory. It's exciting. Exciting to hear these stories. They're going to kind of share in turn. And they're going to encourage us a lot. These stories, they will stir our faith and encourage us. So let's encourage them a lot, right? So as they come and share their stories, let's be encouraging. Let's give big, rapturous applause as they do that. Let me just pray, and then we'll have the first one. I think Sarah's up first. I think I've seen her somewhere. But let me pray. God, we thank you so much for your amazing grace. You are the God of all grace. And so we recognize, even as we hear these stories, as we think of our own lives, it's not easy, it's not straightforward. There's difficulty out there. But you are the God of grace. You care for us. You lift us up in due time. And there is hope because of Jesus. So we pray, fill us with hope this morning. Not just a worldly kind of nice hope, but a spirit-filled hope and encouragement that will give us courage to go on and to live for you, Lord Jesus. And we ask all of that in your name. Amen. Amen. So Sarah's going to come up. Let's give Sarah a very big clap as she comes and tells her little story.
Thanks for the clapping. I had to write it down so that I got it in the right order. So excuse me if I might look at some notes. Okay, so about 4 years ago, I was working full-time, dealing with the most difficult challenges of my career, supporting my family with babies, studying, and my husband was away frequently. So stress, anxiety, and depression overtook me. So much so that I spent a lot of time contemplating which was the most painless way to end my life. After a terrible meeting at work, which I left in tears, which was very annoying, my head of trust came to visit me. I asked to reduce my hours, and predictably I was told no. I was obviously far too important to be allowed to work part-time. So God said, go, and I remember it very distinctly. Toby was preaching, and whatever he said, God said, go. So I did. It was very painful relinquishing all the hard work and the things that I'd built up. There were many tears from my colleagues. Even when I went back the other day, some of them still cried. So my replacement, bless him, wasted no time completely removing all the Christian values I'd instilled into my institution, even before I left. So while I was working out my notice, I continued on my Foundation in Leadership course, which my employers had now refused to fund as I was leaving. So whilst attending the course, we were having a lovely worship session like we've been doing here this morning, and somebody I'd never spoken to in my life tapped me on the shoulder and said, I believe God wants to heal you of something emotional. And he prayed for me, and I began to recover. Now, with my new free time, I've helped with more things for God. Most recently, I was offered a permanent role 3 days a week where I can shine God's love. I lead a lovely life group, which is a great privilege, and I help with preschool. I still don't know who paid for that second year of my course, but God has been brilliant in his provision, and I have loved spending more time with him and learning new things about him each day. Most recently, I've been doing a training course, and I was given a book on forgiveness. This was actually only last week, I hasten to add. This is a postscript. Whilst I was reading it, I was completely struck that I needed to forgive my previous employers and not blame them for the situation, as it occurred to me, finally, that I have been forgiven so much that I need also to completely forgive.
Well done. Let's do big claps this morning, you know... Yeah, thank you, Sarah. That's powerful, isn't it? That is real, raw. I told you, honesty about life not being easy. To be honest, didn't quite realise the extent to which that was the case. Praise God for the work in your life, Sarah, that he is doing. You're great. I don't know where you are. I'm trying to find you with my eyes. But you're a great blessing to us, Sarah. Bless you. Nay, Come up. Let's give Naya a big clap.
Hi everyone, I'm Nay. I've been part of Grace Church for nearly 6 years here at the Chai site. And I have recently relocated to Bognor and will be joining the Bognor site after Together Sunday. So Tony asked me to share about how God has led me to this and his provision in it. To really understand God's part in this story, you have to know one thing about me. I absolutely love stability. Routine, reliability, I live for a 9-to-5, and I hate change. It is my worst nightmare. Going back about a year, I was probably the most comfortable I had been in a long time, and I was loving life. I was living with one of my best friends, I had settled into my job, and I had good friends. Everyone was great. Ticks all the stability boxes. However, my housemate Helen, who lots of you will know, had been dating a lovely guy called Jonathan. And if you were listening in the notices, you may know how that ended. and just over a year ago, they got engaged. Helen is one of my favourite people. And seeing her find someone so lovely was absolutely wonderful. And I couldn't have been happier. But if you ask her how I reacted when she told me, she would tell you that my face was full of complete and utter joy and complete and utter panic at the same time as it sunk in that I was that this meant it was the end of a very comfortable stage of life that I was enjoying. So I dealt with the impending change in a classic Nay style, pretending that it wasn't happening. Fast forward a few months, and I was with some friends who live over in Bognor, and they floated the idea of me moving once Helena got married. Going back to what I said initially about loving stability and hating change, you may not be surprised to know that it was a hard no from me. Nothing about moving to a new place, new site, and meeting new people appealed to me in the slightest. But even though it was kind of said in jest, this thought of could this be a thing was planted in my mind. Fast forward to the end of September, and I was at a commission leadership conference, and this same person again brought up this Bognor idea. At this point, it had been brought up quite a few times, and I strongly believe that God can talk to us through other people. So I started to wonder, could this be God speaking, or is it just my friends wanting me to move for the giggles? I couldn't be sure. But in one of my evening meetings, there was a word about feeling like maybe God is speaking to you, but not really being sure. And they encouraged us to pray on it. One of the reasons I was so worried about moving was because I had struggled to settle in various places I lived before living with Helen. So I was really worried about finding new housemates. And I always liked the idea of living on my own, but I didn't really think it would be possible. So I said one of those prayers where you kind of only half think it will happen. But I asked God, if this is your will, please provide me with my own flat that I can afford. Over the next 5 months or so, I tried not to think about moving. But I did find that I began to feel slightly less anxious and overwhelmed about it. And every now and then, the idea of could God be calling me to Bognor came and went. But I was still not ready to think about moving from living with Helen, so I kept on avoiding the inevitable. Skipping forward to January of this year, and that's when things really began to be clear for me. Although it had been joked about at points, I was more officially asked to come and support the kids' work in Bognor. And to my surprise, I found, although scary, my response wasn't a flat-out no, as it had been before. I was considering it, and I actually went away and thought and prayed a lot about it. As I did this, I could quite clearly see the need, and I really felt a heart for the kids in Bognor. But I felt very torn because that between that and then my feelings of living in Chai, going to Chai site, leaving my friends, etc., was a really hard decision. As I began to look at flats, I remembered that prayer I had said all those months ago. And in the end, it kind of came down to, okay, God, if this is your will, then I will find a flat in my budget and I'll go. After 2.5 months of flat viewings and being turned down offers on 2 properties, I started to wonder if maybe I hadn't heard God at all and I got it all wrong. I sat one day before work and prayed about it for ages, but one of the estate agents that of the flat I had missed out on called me and offered me to view a flat before it came on the market, which isn't really a thing, so it was definitely God. After viewing it and loving it, I put in an offer, and to my joy, but surprise, it was accepted. I couldn't believe it. As I look back over the last year, I can quite clearly see God preparing this in so many ways I didn't even imagine. I've got a friend at the Bognor site who I've known since starting Grace Church, but we've grown so much closer over the last couple of years, and I definitely think this was God's timing, as she's been amazing support in this whole journey, and he knew that having her just around the corner when I moved would be a huge comfort. I'm also part of a theatre group, which I joined back in 2021, that meets in Bognor, and although I had no idea at the time I joined I'd be moving, it now means I can be much more involved and get to know people better, which is also great as it's my main mission field. I've loved being part of the Chai site. I adore the kids here, and I've been so privileged to see them grow in the time I've led the team. I just say goodbye to them, and I try not to cry. And I love all the friends I've made. Special shout out to my life group. But although I'm so sad to be leaving, I leave believing that it is in God's timing and that he's got so much in store for this new chapter. I'm excited to join a new site, build strong relationships, and I'll now be taking on the kids' work. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do in their lives. I still hate change and I'm still terrified, but I know that God is with me and I know that he is guiding every step. And although if it was my choice, I would choose a life of comfort, I want to be someone who takes risks for God and trusts him. So I look to this new chapter with excitement and hope for the future.
We'll pray for you, Stella. Good. We're going to pray for Nay. Yeah, so this is kind of essentially the sending moment as we send Nay to Bognor. And yeah, Nay is a great gift to Grace Church. She's on our staff team, does a load of stuff. He's kind of too complicated to get into, really. And leads worship, kids team, loads of stuff with our kids. Through lockdown, did loads of stuff. Kind of became a little YouTube celebrity with a very small, select number of children. It's our loss in Chichester is Bognor's gain. And it is great. We are one church. It's great to be able to serve other sites, particularly Chichester. This really is the kind of the most established, the biggest site. It's great when we get these moments, which is our loss, and it is sad, but it is a privilege to be able to serve the other congregation. So I'm going to pray. Liz is going to come, and let's pray for Nay. Father God, thank you so much for Nay and for her faith, that she lives for you. And in this story, it is evident and clear that she's not just thinking, oh, well, what shall I do? But she's looking to you, and your call on her life, and even this thing, you know, just some may not considering it a big change, but nay, knowing herself, and you know her, and you have worked this process through graciously and kindly, and we're grateful for that, and we send her in faith. We pray that she will be a great blessing to the site in Bognor, and that you'll be working powerfully through her and her ministry. Oh God, we pray. Amen.
Yeah, God, I just pray for Nay. I thank you that you have shown your provision to her in the last few months. Thank you for how you've led her. Thank you that you do lead us through seasons of change, God, that we do go through change. And yet you're a God who doesn't never, ever changes, God. You're a God who is reliable, who is stable, who is steady. And so I pray that Nay would cling to you in this new season where it is a lot of change all at once, God. I pray that she would cling to the God who does not change. Thank you that your love goes on for her, that you will never leave her nor forsake her. And God, I pray that there'd be new things for her to step into, God, more risks for her to take, more steps of faith to take. And as she does that, God, would you grow her? Would you stretch her? Would you point her back to you? I pray, keep her eyes fixed on you in this season. And God, would you bless her mightily through what she does with the kids' work and in making new friends and in speaking to new people, Father? Would she know a real peace about everything that happens, Father? Just be with her. We thank you for her. We thank you for the blessing she's been to every person in this site, for how you've grown her already and for bringing her here as you did. And God, we trust you as you take her over to Bognor, that you will be with her and that you'll lead her in everything. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well done, Nay. Kate. Let's give Kate a massive welcome.
Thanks. I promise I did not know what you were going to say today, so God is always working. A fair few of you now know me and parts of my story. For those that don't, I'll try and give a brief summary. I became a Christian last year through visiting Little Bears, attending Sunday meetings, taking part in the Alpha course, and then I was baptised in August, where I shared a little bit about my life of before becoming a Christian and how I felt in those early days. It went a bit like this. I've been through some extremely rough times and thought I was doing all right, but knew that life felt difficult and the pressure on me to get it right as a single mum to my two young boys felt scary and a lot to bear. I had a weight of at least our little world on my shoulders. Then I met Jesus. Yay! And my life and feelings had totally changed. Life no longer felt hard and my future not scary. He had changed me. Since being baptised, I've had loads of amazing encounters with God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It was difficult to decide which to focus on for today. For the purposes of this session, I won't focus on the time I really needed the train gates to be up, and they were. But I'm still very grateful for those kind of things. Like many new Christians, I was blown away by how different and great I felt, and that I couldn't imagine life ever feeling bad again. It was going to be plain sailing from here on in. Thankfully, Jesus knew this wouldn't be the case, and he continued to encourage me to build a relationship with him. One of the ways he did this was by stirring a desire in me and the ability to be able to attend the Theology for Life course that was being held in Winchester. I enrolled with the sole purpose of adding knowledge and words to what I was already feeling. It was going to be the head knowledge to my heart feelings, and I love learning everything about everything, so it was a win-win. Little did I know that what I would actually gain was the knowledge I'd set out for, plus a whole lot more of the heart stuff, a much, much stronger relationship with an understanding of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's like starting a new relationship. You need to get to know about the person and their character for that relationship to grow. So by studying the Word, I was getting closer to God. I absolutely recommend the course to anyone who has this on their heart. It's not just an intellectual academic exercise. I understand, of course, that this isn't accessible to everyone, and there are loads of other ways Jesus has shown me to be with him and feel his presence. I've also been surrounded by my wonderful church family through friendships and life group, taken part in various Bible studies, and have an ever-growing playlist of worship music. I often find myself bursting into song when reading Bible verses now because I knew them first as song lyrics. I'm also quite a visual person, so if a Bible verse stirs me, I'll add it to a photo I've taken so I can put it up somewhere in my house as encouragement. All this helped me on a regular basis with the day-to-day struggles of the world that the world has to offer. And I've recently experienced in preparation for the bigger, scarier, harder things that are not ours to handle alone. One Friday at the end of February, I had been experiencing some uneasy, unresolved feelings relating to my past. I had even mentioned to a friend from church that I thought that maybe God was trying to help me get these feelings out so that I can really start afresh before I move in July. That's a whole other testimony session. I did not want to be thinking of past stuff, let alone reliving feelings associated with it. It all suddenly felt too overwhelming, and I started to cry on my own in my kitchen. It was then I heard a clear, gentle voice say, "I'm here with you, Kate." I just knew it was Jesus, and I felt such a comfort and peace knowing that even though these feelings from the past were surfacing this time, I wasn't going to be going through them alone. What I didn't realise is that I was also being prepared for what was to come, starting that exact evening. This isn't the place to go into the finer details of what happened, but I was faced with a situation relating to my past that I had hoped wouldn't occur. I didn't have the answers, but I knew the only way to get peace and resolution was to turn to Jesus. I can't say that I had instant peace, because that's not always how these things work out, but throughout the few weeks that followed, where I was battling with my emotions and circumstances, I kept focus on Jesus, and he held me up. There are times when I could hear another voice. That voice was saying things like, "Why would you go to life group tonight? You're a mess. No one wants to hear your sob story again." But because I knew that voice was not my saviour Jesus, who loves me, I ignored it and went to life group, where I was surrounded and supported by my church family in his presence and love. So I continued coming here on a Sunday, even if that was on my knees and sobbing. I sought counsel from church leaders and friends. I turned my worship music up louder. I prayed harder. I carried on learning about God's great love and grace. Then I broke down and said, "I can't do this anymore." So Jesus picked me up. And then I started to feel better. Then I started to feel stronger. And now I've started to feel healed. Not just reburying a hurt, but going through it and back out the other side. While I was in that dark place, I described it as a picture of me being sheltered and held up by Jesus whilst the storm raged around us. I was crumpling, but he was protecting me from the storm. I scribbled that picture down so that I can remember it. When Jesus said, "I'm here with you, Kate," I know he knew what was coming and wanted me to very clearly feel him there with me every step of the way. I recently watched a short video where the guy compared getting to know God's word with those trained to spot counterfeit money. He said that they don't go about trying to get to know every possible type of counterfeit money. That would be ever-changing and therefore impossible. What they do is get to know everything about the genuine money. That way, if a fake comes their way, they know it's counterfeit. This is what I felt through my recent troubled time. I knew the voice of my Jesus and knew not to listen to the voice of the enemy who was trying to stir me away from him. My encouragement would be to get to know Jesus so that you can hear the words, "I'm here with you," when you need them. I just want to finish with a verse that I printed off and pinned to my notice board whilst in deep despair. It is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you."
Man, do you hear those words? I was broken and Jesus picked me up. I mean, that's the gospel, right? That is the message that we preach and worship Jesus for. It is just such a privilege to have you, Kate, as part of us and to see God work in your life so much. Doing deeper in the word, a little kind of teaching to study the Bible a bit, and we're just doing this session and Kate's on it. She came up to me the other day and said, "And so how do you get to Jesus in it? And what do you make of Jesus there?" And she went, "It's such a great, beautiful question for someone who basically a year ago didn't know." I feel like I met you first Good Friday last year out in the car park. It's just such a joy to watch God work in your life, Kate. You're a real gift to us. We're going to celebrate communion together before we go any further. And it's been, this morning, just, I don't know if you feel it, you feel the kind of communion with one another. Even just, you know, singing a few times with no instruments and lifting up one voice together, that we are united. We are one people, united together. And we're going to come together and celebrate communion. And because we celebrate communion that therefore we are one body. Here's some verses from 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17. It says, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we all share the one loaf." So as we celebrate communion together, we're celebrating that Jesus' body and his blood has united us. It's a participation in his body and blood. And we do it together because there is one loaf, there is one body. It's a great morning, I think, to mark that. So when we, you know, hear... The reason it gets, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but these stories, the reason they get to you so much is because there's a sense in which this is you that it's happening to. This is part of your body where God is at work. And it's a great encouragement when we hear brothers and sisters who are part of our family, our body, where God is so powerfully moving. And because that is what is happening in communion, this is a celebration of our participation in the body and blood of Jesus and as one body, then this is for Christians, really. I don't know, you know, who's here this morning. If you're not a Christian, feel free not to join in. This is a moment to celebrate that you love Jesus and celebrate that you are part of the church. And so if that's not you, then that's fine to not celebrate that. It doesn't make sense to celebrate it. So feel free to not join in. But if you are a Christian, then there's a kind of bread and wine around in every corner. It is grape juice, non-alcoholic wine to represent the wine. Gluten-free bread is at that station, so if you need that, go there. All the others are non-gluten-free. And we're going to do this. We're going to collect it, bring it back to your seats, and let's just, I think, with one another, thank God for his grace at work in our lives. Thank him for the cross, right? The ultimate evidence of his grace. The ultimate evidence that he did not hold back his most precious thing in sharing his love with us. So what I suggest is collect the bread and wine, bring it back to your seats, and then in threes, fours or something, why don't you just pray with one another? Let's celebrate our communion in this moment. Thank God for his gift of grace to us, and pray for one another, maybe. King Jesus, we thank you for your body broken for us and your blood poured out for us. And we thank you that just as there is one loaf, we are one body. And so as we hear these stories of you at work by your Spirit, through your church, Lord, we rejoice that this is not just a thing that is happening somewhere else, but it is in us. It is such a privilege to know your grace at work among us as your body. And we pray, Lord, help us to live lives of gratitude for all that you have done for us. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Olaf is up. Olaf, let's give Olaf a big clap, big welcome. He comes to tell his story.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Yes, my name's Olaf, which is great with children, but everyone else, they look at you blankly. I've been a Christian since I was seven, so it's a long time. And what I've learned is that God has been very gracious to me every step of my way. When I was a little boy, when I was a teenager, rebellious, all of those things. When I was a young man, when I got married, all the way through. And now I'm an old man. So I've got three things I want to share with you, really. It's just lovely to hear how God's grace has been at work in different people in different ways. And he cares too much about us not to pour grace out upon us. We just celebrated, haven't we, communion. You know, that most tremendous gift of all, his body and his blood given for us. How will he not therefore give us all things? And so just three simple things I'm going to share with you. I like running. Joe knows this story, so I'll be to the point. So it was a big surprise when I was out on a long run about 2 years ago. And I came back and I felt a bit rotten. Didn't understand it, really. I carried on trying to run for about 6 weeks. But every time I got about a mile, I just felt rotten. It was during lockdown. I didn't know quite what to do with the NHS and all that. Anyway, on this particular Thursday, I felt really bad. And so I got back, and with Lindsay's encouragement, I rang 111. And within 15 minutes, there was a blue light in the close, which was very embarrassing. These paramedics came in with their masks, put the things on, and they said, "I'm going to take my mask off. I need to tell you something. You've had a heart attack." "What?" You know, it was a big shock. So he said, "You've got 15 minutes. Pack your things. You're off to hospital." I've never been driven at speed like that with blue lights. It was quite exciting, really. And the chap said, "Take the road," to his driver. So centre stage, you know, goodness me. It was an incredible time, but throughout it all, I knew God's protection. And no one could visit me in hospital. Lindsay couldn't come. Whilst lonely, and yet I was not alone. God was with me, and it was a very precious time. And then they said, "You might have died." Because after that, so I have a couple of stents now. They're great. Tick tock. and a whole cluster of pills, but less than I had used to have. But there were some great witnessing opportunities and some really precious psalms just opened up to me in that hospital ward by myself, you know, out of the depths, very, very precious. Subsequently, I've heard of several people, three actually, who were all around about 60 and 61, who were out running and died. Two of them out, one of them wasn't found till several weeks later. And I just thought, goodness me, thank you, God. So my first story really is about protection. And we're never too old to learn the lessons. And sometimes, as we've been hearing from other people, you might go through some choppy waters, but God is with you. He's teaching you things. He cares too much not to let you go it alone or to teach you things from very young to very old. My second story is, well, what to do? I had been living quite a stressful life in various ways, and I wasn't sure what I should do next. Something probably had to change. So my second story is about guidance, really. And these things, they touch all of us, don't they? Protection and guidance. So I prayed. My mother and Lindsay's father both died in lockdown. And we'd been in 26 years where we were living in Alton. And I just wondered, you know, was this time to see if we could maybe change where we live? Was that the right thing? Change work, maybe even look at retiring early. Would that be possible? So we knocked the doors. We knocked the doors, first of all, in terms of work. And we were both able to retire early. Yay. Don't let anyone say it's bad. It's good. So the next thing also was, well, where should we live? Was it time to change? So knocked the door again. It was a bit like one of those fleece moments, you know. Do it this way and then do it that way with the fleece, Gideon and stuff. So we put the house on the market and it sold straight away. Thought, oh, right. Where should we live? Big thing, isn't it, where you live? Knocked that door. We thought we'd better, you know, our daughter lives down in Selsey. Ha-ha, it's coming together. So we went down to look. There were just two properties down there on this particular day. This is the Tuesday, I think, after we'd sold on the Friday. And one was a definite no-no. And the other one, it was the right place. We just knew it. We walked in. Mind you, it's a building site. Well, it's a project that we're busy with making progress. So that was guidance. Big things. You know, sometimes these things come together. A big moment of a crisis. What do I do next? And then the third thing is it was picked up in one of the songs that we sang about surrender. And there's something I've been grappling with for a few months. And was I wrestling with God? Maybe. I was certainly struggling over this particular thing. And some of you might be struggling over something in particular. You'll know if you are. Well, the lesson I learnt here, because these are all three lessons really for me as an older person of protection and of guidance, this was, I needed to surrender. And you know what? When I surrendered, when I let go of this thing, it was then that I had peace. Now, I don't know what you're wrestling with. Nay's testimony back there, that was great. That so spoke to all of us, that did. But we do wrestle with things. But if we want to find the peace of God, which is a gift, a promised gift, let go. Cast your anxiety, as it were. Surrender it. Let go. That's me. God bless you.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, thank you, Olaf. Very humbling, very encouraging. And a great testimony, you know, as we've been singing again, all my life you've been faithful, and just a great story of protection and guidance and surrender and the power of those things. I'm going to welcome Mary. Mary, come up, give a big clap. Mary's going to tell us about something God's put on her heart, which she's been a little bit reluctant to do, but it's very exciting to hear about.
Good morning. Well, you know, when the Bible says Jesus is our shepherd, in my Amplified Bible, it says to tend, to feed, and to something else. Anyway, during the lockdown, 2020, you know, after, I think, Christmas, 2020, my children came home for Christmas. And, you know, life is hard. Joe have said it. Everywhere in the whole world was hard. We came from Nigeria and from this town called Ibadan. So they came in and we were chatting. You know, we have turkey to eat. And we were just thinking about, actually, Tony asked me to share this. I didn't want to. So we were talking and we were hearing the news about people going to bed with empty stomach, you know, and children dying, malnutrition increase, family, women cannot feed their children. And we sat down with all this food and we were looking at each other and they said, there should be something we can do about it. And I was wondering, what can we do? You can't change the whole world, but you can do something. There is a place in the Bible that said, when you do it to them, you've done it for me. So we were thinking, so they said, let's do charity. Let's feed people. Feed people? How? And I said, let me go and pray. I did pray. And I believe God told me that charity should be called Shepherd's Love. So, Shepherd's Love was born. Here we are. So, we started January 2021. And basically, we just put a month aside to feed people and also to support education. That support of education came from Grace Church. I mean from Compassion. I've been here a while. I came to this church 2007. So I'm part of the people that was privileged to be to sponsor children with Compassion. So we started, and you know, when I was praying, God laid in my heart three sisters. The church I was going when I was in Nigeria, they were in need also. And when I phoned them, I said, this is what's going to happen. We are going to be buying food, our local food, and start giving to less privileged. And I said, you, the three of you, you must have one pack. And I said, your children, one from you, we are going to be giving them £25 like Compassion to support their education. They started crying. They said, we were just holding night vigil last week, Friday, that God, please remember us. I was so shocked. And I said, can you get single mothers, widows, widowers, elderly, anybody that go to bed without food? And we should start from somewhere. And I said, anybody, even Muslim, if they are hungry, let's feed them. And I was saying it, trusting God, that where would that money come from? So we started, and we call it Shepherd's Love. And I said, the plan is, when you gather people, you need to sing praises to God that remember them and tell them about Jesus' love. The first one, you know, we started January 2021 to the glory of the Lord. When they gather people and they were like praise worship, they were clapping their hands and Jesus loves you. And they were like, this park, It's for you. Oh, we don't have money to pay. No, it's free. Free? From where? From Jesus. Jesus, remember us. And you know, at times they do video calls that I can be with them in that moment. But the one that really stuck with me was last week, one of the month, after all these praises and telling them about how Jesus loved them and remembered them, an elderly man gave his life to Christ. That is the icing on the cake. So we started telling friends and family of God from around us here. My children tell people from their church where they are, and people that think God is leading them to join the mission, join us. And from then, we grow to 20 and 40 families. You know, that food is enough for 2 weeks for smaller family. Just 3 months ago, it has grown to 50 families. And September 2021, we just, you know, that is the beginning of another school year. We were able to give few children from the less privileged English and maths textbooks. Last year, we did more, and we now included uniform and shoe. Children go to school barefooted, you see. So shoe was given to few of them, and that is how God has been so faithful. You know, the thing is, when these people get food, I may not meet any of them. Some people that give us money may not meet any of them throughout their life. But the joy that Jesus remembered them, you cannot put price on that. And it's always giving me joy also when I see the picture and I hear the story about what God is doing. Also, the first December, that is December 2021, alongside the pack of food, we gave 10 clothes, our own local wrapper, to 10 widows. And last year also, that happened. And you know, one of the widows that had her bag and also the clothes, when she came for the next pack of food the following month, she sold the clothes and she wore it. And she came with that dress, which is to the glory of the Lord. Some of the university students also has been privileged to get some of the pack. You know, we are in England. We throw food away. We destroy so many things. You know, NHS drugs. When they have it in a home and you don't use it, or the person has passed away, send it to the pharmacy, they throw it. When you go all over the world elsewhere, it's not like that. People suffered. But I'm grateful to God for this privilege to be able to do what God is doing. At the moment, Shepherd's Love is now a registered charity in Nigeria, and we are on that path to do it here in UK. I've been wanting to tell Joe, but I didn't want to until when somebody encouraged me that Joe needs to know. So it's all to the glory of the Lord, but when you do it to them, you've done it to God. Praise God.
Thank you. Amazing, isn't it? What Mary is doing, God is doing through Mary, just this desire, well, what we can do something and now feeding 50 families. So if you want to be able to support Mary, talk to her afterwards. She has to be asked to be telling us about this, right? And so come and talk to her. There's complications because register charity in Nigeria, praise God. It's harder to register a charity over here, as you can imagine, and so wanted to be able to kind of support over there. But we want things, in faith to establish things in the UK, which will make things much easier and able to be able to serve them. So talk to Mary. What a story of faith. Praise God for that. We've got one more. I know we're just short on time, but let's welcome Liz up. Give Liz a big clap. She comes to tell her story.
Hi, everyone. Hello. Wow, tough acts to follow. Some of you will have already heard my testimony from when I was baptised here at Christmas time last year. It's a combination of various events that brought God into my life. I've been coming to Grace Church for a year and a half and can honestly say that being part of the church family has changed my life. If someone had told me 3 years ago that I'd be standing here sharing my testimony, love going to church, enjoy Bible study, praying regularly and singing to worship music in my kitchen, I'd have laughed and said, "You've got the wrong person." I grew up in a Christian family and I went to church every Sunday as a child all through to my early teens. We went to a traditional C of E church. I didn't enjoy going to church and I found it so boring. The constant repeat after me's made me feel like I was in a cult. I have memories of reading out every letter of every word in the order of service just to pass the boredom. I'd sit there feeling bored, hungry and wanting to be literally anywhere else. I had no idea that church could bring so much joy and happiness to so many people. I don't remember specifically stopping going to church, probably as soon as my parents could no longer force me to go, but I do remember losing my faith. I was sitting in RE at school, supposedly learning about Christianity, and just thinking, what a load of rubbish. I didn't believe any of it, and that was it. My faith, any faith I did have was gone. For many years, I floated between being unsure of what I believed and just disbelieving there was a God altogether. I always felt there was something guiding me, but put things down to coincidence or fate. In 2020, my brother, who lives in America, had a heart attack. He was given CPR by his friend and then shocked three times by paramedics to be revived. He was medically dead for 7 minutes. He ended up intubated and in a medically induced coma, and his chances of regaining consciousness were poor. We'd been prepared for a bad outcome by medical staff. If he even regained consciousness, there was almost certainly going to be brain damage, but the degree was unknown. So we were mentally preparing ourselves for his death. This was obviously during the height of the pandemic, so there was no way of us getting to him. But thankfully, we were able to FaceTime the hospital for updates. After a couple of days, staff decided that it was time to try and remove his tubes to see what he would be like. Just for some context on my brother, like me, he stopped going to church as soon as he could. However, he was saved in his late teens and has always attended a charismatic church. He took me to church with him a couple of times when I'd visited him, and I honestly felt so uncomfortable. It was the furthest from my idea of church that I could imagine. He has an amazing church family in America. He's so blessed in that sense because he obviously has no family there. And word had spread about his accident and that the tubes were being removed and how pivotal this would be. And a group of about 20 of them had gathered outside his hospital window and were praying for God to save him. So obviously this was in the height of the pandemic. They weren't even really supposed to be together, and there were 20 of them, like, in a circle, you know, praying. We were able to see out the window on FaceTime as this was happening. I'd never seen anything like this in my life before. My experience of prayer was kneeling in church or by your bed, hands together, eyes closed, silent. It was pretty overwhelming. So we were sat on our sofa with the iPad, silently waiting as the nurses took the tubes out. We'd been told that it could take hours for him to regain consciousness, if at all. So our wait began. The tubes were removed, and within seconds, my brother was awake and trying to speak. The nurses were gobsmacked. They weren't expecting this to happen. Cut to exactly 1 week from my brother's cardiac arrest, and he was leaving hospital, pacemaker fitted, otherwise totally unharmed. The doctors couldn't explain it. Some even called it a miracle themselves. Every time I recall this, even when practicing reading this at home, it makes my whole body tremble with how remarkable the whole event was. It made me question my faith completely. How could I ignore this incredible miracle? Something had sparked within me now, and I once again believed in God. So not long after this had happened, my husband David accepted a job in Chichester, and we decided to move. We didn't know a single person in the area, and our search net for houses was huge. We had no idea where to live. We were looking everywhere. I decided that I wanted to try and find a local church to go to that would be more suitable for us than what we had experienced before. So I factored this into our house searching. I asked a Christian friend of mine to have a look for me too, and we both found Grace Church and thought it looked like a good option. Just over a year later, we had moved to Chichester, and God had found us the perfect house, which was surrounded by members of our Grace Church family. As some of you know, we have quite a street. So I was taking a walk with my neighbour Lizzie, and she invited me to come along to her church's toddler group, Little Bears. When I asked which church, and she said Grace Church, I couldn't believe the coincidence that this toddler group was at the church I'd found a year earlier and almost forgotten about. So I went along to the two sessions before the summer holidays. Then one Saturday night in September, I had a dream. I was at Grace Church here in the building, and I was crying. I'd lost something and I couldn't find it. I was distraught. Then suddenly my brother was there in the dream. I'd found him inside and we were both crying. I woke up suddenly and that feeling was still there. I was filled with something that I now say was the Holy Spirit. But at the time, I just knew I was filled with emotion. David didn't know what was wrong with me. It was the middle of the night and I couldn't speak because I was crying so much. But I knew I was being called. And the next morning, I got up and came to church for the first time. On my second or third visit, after finally being able to leave my daughter Jessica in kids' work long enough to hear notices, Thomas announces that an Alpha course would be starting the next week. I'd always been interested in doing an Alpha course, so I knew that I needed to go. It was another pretty crazy coincidence. Alpha was a huge turning point for me in developing my faith. It answered questions that I didn't know I had and made so much click into place for me. It allowed me to explore what was always missing for me, which was a relationship with God. It sounds so silly now, but I learned how to pray, and now I understand what it means to be a Christian. Since that first Alpha course, God has answered so many of my prayers, from like the train barriers, very small, and David started to come into church with me, and David did an Alpha course, things that I was praying for, you know. I didn't think those things would happen, and they did. My faith continues to grow. The more I learn and discover about Jesus, the more I want to learn and discover. And I'm just so grateful for all the incredible people that God has connected me with who help and guide me along this path. So thank you.
It's kind of overwhelming, isn't it? I'm like exhausted hearing all these amazing stories of God at work. I hope you're encouraged. And your faith is stirred. Let me pray, and then we'll finish and have some tea and coffee together. Father God, we thank you so much. It is so humbling to think, God, that you are working among us all the time. These stories, you know, are going on right now. You are at work in our lives. We thank you for that, God. You are so gracious. You are so kind, and we ask, Lord, would you keep working? We humbly come before you and ask of your grace to keep moving. Would you keep doing what you are doing? Holy Spirit, would you be at work among us? Keep using your church, your people. Keep giving us the gift of the prophetic to speak in, for dreams to be happening, Lord God, where people are being called to you. Lord, would you be at work? For your name's sake, we pray. Amen.